Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
I'm going to start the show off with a good deed. Right. I have to start this show off with a good deed.
Well, a very good deed. I'm glad.
Very good deed. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. It is hump day. It is well-spoken Wednesday. It is all the above. It's 4 days away from Texans at Pittsburgh against the Steelers. It's a family affair. It's looking to avoid going 0-3 for the first time since 2018. All that, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But you know what? Okay. That takes a backseat to the good deed I got to provide someone with.
Good deeds are always important.
Bill O'Brien, one of the most important men in town. However you feel about him, he is one of the most important men around town, and I got to tell you, he sounds defeated. He sounds humbled. He sounds defeated. Maybe he's focused, but he sounds very sad, and there is only one song in this world that can cheer Bill O'Brien up, and I think we have it, and appropriately, it's the Steelers theme song this
That's
week.
Right.
I think the
That's
Texans
right.
got a chance to get the dub. I think Bill O'Brien, cheer up, buttercup, as my mom used to sing to me in the morning. You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world
what happened?
The good in your heart.
Why didn't it work?
It worked. It worked. And that's why I am here to provide B.O.B. with the one jam that I think can cheer up B.O.B. Buttercup.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Steelers back in the gold.
Here we go.
This town of Pittsburgh's heart and soul.
Here we go.
The Steeler Nation has the best fans.
Nope.
We are from Pittsburgh to six times
nope.
Super Bowl.
Nope.
Here we go. Here we go.
That's cheer up, B.O.B.
That should cheer up anyone.
Texans gonna win even though you're 2-0. Let's go, B.O.B.
Coach Tomlin is ready.
Shut that guy up. I don't need to hear about Coach Tomlin. Cheer up, B.O.B.
All right.
And if I can't cheer you up, what about your right-hand man?
Mm-hmm.
You want some wisdom?
Who doesn't want wisdom?
From Jack Easterby this morning?
Well, okay.
I woke up this morning.
With a wine glass in your hand?
Did not.
Okay. We're really blessed.
I wiped the crust out of my eyes. I walked to the restroom. I threw some water in my face.
Mm-hmm.
I walked to the kitchen. I got me a yogurt smoothie. And I popped an Adderall.
You popped an Adderall?
I opened up my cell phone. And right there on the top of my timeline was a quote from Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, Jack Easterby.
Well, let me start by saying,
no, that's not what he said. He said this. And I think this is very appropriate to cheer up King Bill, to get Deshaun Watson focused, and to get the Texans ready to hand the Steelers their first loss. He said, quotes, focus on the opportunity, the process, and the effort, not the burdens, the naysayers, and the problems. Good morning.
I'm blessed.
I think that's good advice. Focus on the opportunity, the process, and the effort, not the burdens, the naysayers, and the problems. Translation, focus on the opportunity to win your first game. Focus on the opportunity to go 1-2. Focus on the process of building this thing that Jack and Bill have tried to build. Focus on the effort, Randall Cobb. Focus on the effort, Max Sharping. Focus on the effort,
Zach Fulton.
Focus on the efforts,
Eric Murray.
Every safety not named Justin Reed.
That's right.
And don't worry about the burdens. Don't worry about the way in which this defense has been built.
It's like my middle son, a noted loophole, BG. He's a golf freak, but he tends to let a double bogey stick with him or a bad shot stick with him. And I tell him, you can't change that shot you just made, but you can focus on this shot right here.
Exactly. It can make you stronger.
Did you happen to read the comments?
I did not, from Jack Easterbees. But again, it goes back to the naysayers. Don't worry about the John Lopez's and Landry Lockers
hey,
and Lupus.
I didn't leave a comment.
All right, what were the comments on Jack's comments?
Well, okay, so
and the problems.
Read what Jack Easterbee tweeted again.
All right. I feel like you're about to hike your leg on one.
No,
I'm not.
I'm with you, man.
Focus on the opportunity, the process, and the effort, not the burdens, the naysayers, and the problems.
First comment, why don't you focus on the offense? Next comment, why don't you focus on building an actual winning culture? Next comment, why don't you focus on Bill O'Brien's job? and it's variations of that theme all the way through.
Here's the good news.
There is good news.
For Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterbee.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin, Super Bowl winning coach. Very well respected around the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He has to deal with the noise, too. Here's an example. One of the legends of Pittsburgh Steelers history, a couple years back, asked about Mike Tomlin. This was Terry Bradshaw asked about Mike Tomlin and what kind of coach he thinks he is. So, Bill O'Brien, you're getting criticized. Jack, you're getting criticized. Don't worry. Even Mike Tomlin on the opposing sidelines has to deal with this same type of stuff.
Terry, I think Mike Tomlin still needs to prove he's a great coach.
I don't think he's a great coach at all.
Wait, what?
He's a nice coach, and I've said this. He's really a great cheerleader guy. I don't know what he does, but I don't think that he's a great coach at all. His name never even pops in my mind when we think about great coaches in the NFL.
Come on now.
I can tell you exactly what that is.
Come on, man.
I can tell you with 100% confidence, not accuracy because maybe it's something else, but I'm talking in my view. I can tell you exactly why Terry Bradshaw said that about Mike Tomlin. Tomlin hasn't invited him into the circle, into practices, into his office to maybe talk football. That is a bitter, bitter man right there. Remember when Charlie Strong, you know, like some players were alienated because he said only players and staff and practices at Texas back then. That's how you lose the former players. And I can tell you exactly that. That's just Terry Bradshaw being bitter.
Well, I do think NFL coaches get criticized. I've heard Mike Tomlin get criticized quite often. I mean, I did.
Well, sure.
The noise is part of it. I do think there is an element of that as well.
There are criticisms for great coaches. I mean, no question. Name a great coach. I don't think you can. Go back, Lombardi.
Bill Belichick.
Landry, Belichick. I mean, there are criticisms for all great coaches. What I'm saying is he's still a great coach. Just look at the resume, scoreboard.
I feel like you kind of ruined my talk for Easterbee.
No. Well, I mean, Easterbee.
I'm trying to get them pumped up.
Did I hike my leg?
I mean, yes. I mean, I'm trying to get this team excited for
I'm
something.
Sorry.
I mean, good gosh. I mean, what are we supposed to do now? Like, what do you want to do? Like, you want me to give you bad offensive line stats?
No.
You want to talk about David Johnson being 30th in the league in rushing?
You want an offensive line stat?
I don't.
I got a bunch in my back pocket.
You want some hype music?
Do you want to talk about Will Fuller hurt again?
Let's try it again. That's on me. I'm going to go full Gary Kubiak. That's on me.
I mean, I'm trying to get people excited here. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, focus on the opportunity. What is the opportunity, you ask? The opportunity is to beat a second-tier team in the NFL. It is a process. The Dallas Cowboys, they started out 0-2 in the 90s, and they ended up winning a Super Bowl. Not sure Emmitt Smith's walking through that door after a holdout, but ignore that side note. It is about getting that first win. It is about stacking up wins, piling up wins. To quote Jack Easterby and Frozen 2, it's about doing the next right thing. You'll hear Bill O'Brien say that again at 10:40.
Just do the next right thing.
It's about the process, okay? It's not easy. The process doesn't start smoothly often. Some people struggle early in the process. It's about trusting the process, the P word. Everybody loves a good P word in many ways, shapes, and forms. It's about the efforts. Don't give up. Go out there, fight, give it what you got. And it's not about the burdens. It's not about having to be COVID tested two times a day or whatever it is. It's not about not being able to go out and hit the club after the game.
Okay. All
it's
right.
not about all those extra reps and Nick Martin taking a blocking sled into his front yard so his neighbors can see him shirtless, pushing it through the grass. It's not about the naysayers. The OG John Lopez, who gives a damn what this guy's been saying? He's been talking out of his ass for four decades. Sean Pendergast, who cares what he says? He's been talking out of his ass for two decades. Seth Payne,
all right, whatever. Dude.
Who even knows what Seth's talking about? Landry Locker, that moronic jamoke, who gives a rat's butt what Landry Locker says? Clint Sterner?
Third person.
Come on, Chief. Mm-hmm. Show? Who cares what he says? He gave himself a nickname. It doesn't matter what the media types say. It doesn't matter what these jamokes at Sports Radio 610 say. You guys decide. You guys go out there, make them look stupid, make them eat crow. I am proposing that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby provide the Sports Radio 610 staff with brunch. There ain't going to be no bacon or sausage with those omelets. It's going to be a Monday brunch of crow. Because the Texans are coming for the Steelers' ass.
Well, now we're talking.
Landry Locker, John Lopez.
Now we're
hyped up.
With you. I am too.
Here on Houston.
Here we
Sports
go, baby.
Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's go. Let's go.
Here we go, baby.
Now, with that said, we can stop the hype music. You got to think at some point, some of this outside noise does have to be like some sort of bulletin board material, right?
You just butted yourself.
I did.
You gave me a hard time.
I'm a mess.
You gave me, did you hear what just happened here?
I'm a mess. Yeah. I'm a mess.
You gave me a hard time for accurately giving my opinion. We did the whole thing over again. We were all hyped up and then you butted yourself.
I'm a mess. Because every time I open up, did you see what Ryan Clark said yesterday to Quincy Avery?
I did.
Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Ryan Clark said to him last night. 9 p.m., Ryan Clark felt it was necessary to send this in a public forum to Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach. Quote, if at Quincy Avery lets Deshaun Watson throw a ball with his feet set next offseason, he has failed him. He needs to throw every ball on a slip and slide with mechanical tackling dummies charging him while his target is on the other side of a moving train. My man is under duress.
I mean, he's not wrong. Not through two games. Not through two games. Mm. And I'm not going to pile on your butting yourself too much because, I mean,
I'm a mess.
That's what this week is all about.
I'm a mess.
You know, yeah, but they lost two, but let's see what happens. Yeah, but, you know, we're hyped up about Pittsburgh, but they haven't really showed too much. It's both ends of the spectrum.
A mess. I'm an absolute mess.
You are a mess.
I think they got a chance, though. I truly
You've said
do.
That.
I truly do. I didn't think they did the first 2 weeks, but I truly think they have a chance this week. But I don't know if the coach
Based
does.
Based on what?
I don't know if the coach does.
Based on what?
I'll tell you what it's based on. I will tell you what it's based on. We're also going to get mushy. Because the Watt family will all be on the field on Sunday. All three Watt brothers will be on the field. And the OG John Lopez thinks he knows who J.J. Watt's favorite brother is.
Oh, I do.
I'll tell you next.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Hello.
I feel good about the Texans on Sunday just because I don't think Pittsburgh is – I don't think they're a bad football team, but I don't think they have the explosive players around Ben Roethlisberger to hurt the Texans or to threaten them as
Juju.
Much as the teams before. Juju's good.
Juju's real good.
But if Juju's your number one, I think you can put Bradley Roby on him, and I think Bradley Roby can lock him up. I think you can do okay there. Now – their blitzing defense is a problem. They've hit the quarterback the most in the league, and the Texans have allowed the most quarterback pressures. So that's not necessarily a recipe for success. But I do think that this could be one of those ugly-ass Texans-Bill O'Brien-type games where you can put Deshaun Watson in position to where he has to make a play at the end of the game. And over the course of his career, he's done that many, many times. Now, it is somewhat troubling that I am citing – 2 weeks into the post-DeAndre Hopkins era, the exact same formula that it seemed like they were trying to kind of move past. So yeah. I think the formula is the same. I don't think the talent's the same without DeAndre Hopkins, but I do still believe that if Deshaun Watson has the rock in his hands Sunday around 3-ish in Pittsburgh and the Texans have a chance to win, I think Deshaun Watson, as he has many times, can bail their ass out.
That's all you can hope for. And that's kind of an indictment on just how good the Texans are. But it's true. If you all you want is an opportunity at the end, it's like basketball, right? Like March Madness. You got the underdog team playing the number two seeded team. All you want is a chance to make that last shot. You know, just keep close, stay close. See if they can make some mistakes. See if they shoot themselves in the foot, and just have a chance. It's an indictment on just how good this team really is, but it's also the reality. The reality is, that's all that the Texans can hope for right here. I feel like they're just to say it one more time. What are you basing on your thought that they have a chance to win?
I don't think Pittsburgh has the ability to take to make it an unattainable unattainable deficit for Deshaun Watson to overcome. I don't think they have the explosiveness on offense that Kansas City and Baltimore did to where there's a shelf life on a good defense. I think this game can be ugly enough to where it's a one possession game, and I feel confident that
muck
with Deshaun has the ball,
muck it up,
it can happen. That's my confidence there, is that I think when it's a one possession game and number four is on the team, you have a chance to win.
I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like that's a possibility. Juju Smith-Schuster worries me a lot. He's had a very good start to the year. He's an explosive player. He can do exactly what you want them not to do. But kind of feeding into your point, they've got a lot of confidence in both their running backs. You know, James Conner gets a lot of, you know, fantasy hype, but Benny Snell is really good, really, really good. You guys, if you've listened to this show, you know I've loved him for a long, long time back when he was at Kentucky. And then there's one other factor that is coming into play this week. Eric Ebron is healthy and is going to play and is going to be and he's a noted Texans killer.
He had a good game last year against the Texans in Indianapolis.
That's their tight end.
And he talks a lot of trash.
Yeah. So if you can't fall behind. I mean, look, again, it's kind of like a basketball reference here. If you get behind double digits or, you know, two scores, I mean, they might run you out of the gym. They just might. But if you can do what you're talking about, stay close, have a chance at the end, muck it up, make sure they're relying more on Benny Snell and James Conner than Eric Ebron and Juju, then they might have a chance.
I mean, I just think that's the formula. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the formula. I think we were sold that, you know, maybe there was going to be a different formula from this offense. I'm not buying it. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks in. Maybe it emerges. Maybe all of a sudden Tim Kelly looks like a genius, but I'm not buying it 2 weeks in. I think the formula is the same, and that's just what I have to work with, and we'll see what happens on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 610 at noon. This is a dream matchup for all the local media types. Mm-hmm. All the local news organizations, my goodness, you know exactly where this is going. You got the Watt brothers, JJ with the Texans, TJ and Derek with the Steelers. You knew this was coming. Mark Berman, of course, the best at what he do, caught up with the Watt family, JJ's mom and dad, and he asked him about this matchup. How unique is it that you're going to see all three of your games mm-hmm. on the same field on Sunday? This is Mark Berman, the great Mark Berman, with JJ's parents.
They really never were because of JJ's age difference. So that's why this is such a special moment for us. And that's what's, I think, killing us to not be there is it really is something that, you know, I always said with JJ and his success and everything like that, there's certain things money just cannot buy. And he could never buy the fact that, you know, you can't play with your brothers, that Derek and TJ have gotten to play so many times together, starting from when they were little. They played on the same baseball team, and then, you know, they played on the same football teams, and then in college, and now in the NFL. And JJ has never had that experience, and it's just something so unique that this is an incredibly special day. So no, I don't think of anything.
I'm just trying to think while she was talking. I don't remember ever a time when it was an organized event that they actually have all three of them were on the field, or the, you know, at the same time. It's really a very unique experience.
It's really special. You know, it's going to be overdone. You know, let's be very clear.
JJ's
about
media availability today is going to be.
Let's be clear about this.
Good Lord.
By Friday afternoon, you're going to be begging to hear the Pittsburgh Steelers Here We Go song over any more JJ Watt brothers talk, because it's going to be so overdone. But the reality on this one is it's real. Can you imagine three brothers playing at the same time, you know, in the same game? It's pretty awesome. You know, as a parent, I couldn't even fathom it. But it's going to be real special. It's just going to be overdone like crazy.
You think you have JJ's favorite brother? You think
I do.
You know who his favorite brother is?
No, I do.
Which one?
Here's the thing. No parent will ever tell you who their favorite kid is. And
they're lying. They all have one.
And well, to be honest, it always is. It fluctuates. Like any three of my kids at any given time can be my favorite based on the most recent, you know, things that have happened.
Who's your favorite right now?
Who's my favorite right now? Of all my kids, probably Leah, the youngest, because she's, you know, in the middle of all this pandemic. She's a nurse at Texas Children's and having to deal with all that. The other two are playing golf in Fort Worth, so they're just living life.
Okay.
But siblings always have a favorite brother or sister. You know, I don't care who you are. You know, I grew up in a house for many years that had 9 kids in it, but I have 4 siblings. And my favorite was Manuel, who passed away 5 years ago.
Rest in peace.
Everybody knew it. He was my favorite brother. Siblings are unafraid to tell you who their favorite brother, who their favorite sibling is.
Okay. Just so who's JJ's?
TJ. No question.
Because he's the most like him and he's better?
No. No question that TJ is JJ Watt's favorite brother. And the reason is JJ's the oldest. TJ's the youngest.
TJ's the outside linebacker. Derek is the youngest one. He's the fullback.
No, Derek is the middle.
Oh, Derek's older than TJ?
Yeah.
Oh, what a waste. No, yeah. Just kidding.
TJ, because the oldest sibling always kind of takes care of the youngest sibling. Manuel was my oldest brother.
Okay. I thought TJ was the middle. See,
well,
I'm
now you got me questioning new. Myself, but I will double check, but I'm pretty sure it's TJ. And the other part of it is what you just said, that they're kind of birds of a feather, and he considers TJ more of a protege.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he considers TJ more of a protege.
TJ is 2 years younger than Derek.
Yeah. So, there's no question. JJ's favorite sibling is TJ.
I could see that. That doesn't mean he doesn't love his other. Yeah, I could
see
that. Yeah, and he's the closest to him. They got the most in common. They play the same position. They can talk. I could see that.
When JJ was in middle school, TJ was carrying his shoulder pads.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why he's absolutely his favorite.
For sure. I could see that. They all three, JJ's done a good job of getting these guys endorsements, because these guys wouldn't demand endorsements. They all three got endorsements, including Subway. They got a Subway commercial with their whole family. JJ's spread the love. So in the spirit of that, I want you to place your Subway order right now. Pretend that I'm the sandwich person. I'm putting my gloves on. Hello, sir. What can I get you?
All right. I would like a double meat.
What kind of bread, sir?
Oh, I want the Italian.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yep. I want the Italian.
Just put that in. All right.
I want you to roast the bread, but I don't want it with the meat roasted, just the bread.
Hey, sorry to the people in line behind him. He's one of those guys.
I got to get to work, sir.
All right. So toast the bread. All right. What else, sir? I got to make a fake smile for you.
What do they call the one with just the like the bologna and the ham? The
cold cut.
I want the cold cut combo.
Okay.
I want the cold cup combo, double meat.
Okay.
Lettuce. Olives.
Okay.
I want lettuce, olives, banana peppers,
okay.
Jalapenos,
okay.
Salt, pepper,
okay.
Oil, and vinegar.
Okay. There you go. All right. Thank you, sir. Sorry about that, ma'am. Sorry about that. There you go.
Double meat cold cut combo on Italian, baby. How about you?
Hey, let me see that tuna. Nah, not gonna go there. Those meatballs fresh? Nah, all right. I'll just go foot long.
Complaining about me?
I'll just go foot long wheat with let's go oven roasted chicken breast, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, onions, bell peppers, extra jalapenos, some pepper, a little bit of sweet onion sauce, and then some honey mustard. Thank you, Biggie.
Nah, I'm good, man.
He's going to go somewhere else.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, we'll get you some cookies then. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Does Bill O'Brien sound defeated? He sounded a little bit sad, or does that just mean he's focused? Podium critic put to action next. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien, a sad version, next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Man, say what you want about Bill O'Brien. He's always seemed somewhat confident. Whether it seems delusional at times or not, he's always seemed pretty confident whenever he goes up to the podium and speaks with the media types into the city of Houston, mm-hmm. before and after games. There is some abrasiveness to it, but it always seems pretty confident, and he seems pretty sure of himself.
Absolutely, 100%.
Doesn't seem to be the case right now. I want to hear Bill O'Brien live out there at NRG before practice began today, and I want you to tell me if B.O.B. sounds focused, determined, or defeated. Here is Bill O'Brien in anticipation of Sunday's game.
Okay.
Is B.O.B. broken?
Relative to the game last week, you know, every game's a little bit different, John. You know, relative to the rotation that we use on the defensive line. You know, obviously J.J. had a very productive game, so whatever the percentage of time he was in there, he made a lot of plays. In talking about your second question, I mean, number one is how hard they play, right? They play. They have a relentless playing style.
The similarities you see between JJ and TJ that makes them special,
and in combination with their athletic ability, you know, their size, their speed for the positions that they play, their ability to bend, they're very instinctive players. There's a lot of things there that are similar, you know. Then, you know, there's some things that are different, but it's just overall just relentless attack of the football on every play.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Hey,
Bill, when you guys look at your offense and your vision of what you want it to be, what are the goals and what do you feel like right now, just early in the season, kind of prevented you from getting to where you want to be offensively?
Yeah, we got a long way to go, Aaron. We got to get going here this week. We got to score more points than the other team. We got to get going. So it's not where we want it to be, quite obviously. But we're working hard to get it better.
When you look at Duke Johnson this week, do you feel better about Duke health-wise? And how do you feel like Will is doing as well?
I think it's Duke is day-to-day. I feel good about where Will's at. I'd say Duke is day-to-day.
Bill, are you amazed at Ben Roethlisberger? It seems like year in, year out, no matter who he has around him, the changing pieces – if he's at quarterback, the Steelers have success.
Yeah, he's you're exactly right. He's a great player. He's seen it all. Been playing for a long time. You know, he comes back from injury last year and picks up right where he left off before he was injured. You know, he just is very instinctive, very accurate, tough, hard to sack, has great command of their offense. Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame player.
Hey, Bill, you guys have used more 11 through two games than you normally did last year. The past few years, you've been one of the league leaders in 12. Has that just been a function of the of shaking out, or is that something you kind of like about that personnel grouping with the new guys you have on this roster?
I think it's week to week, Aaron. I mean, I think it's based on what we feel is the best way to move the ball. You know, week to week, you know, we just look at it. I don't think we really say like, hey, you know, those are 11 and 12, I would say, are our two base personnel packages. We have other things that we do, but relative to the percentage of how we've used them, I think it's just based on how the game's going, and then it's week to week beyond that.
Bill, can you talk about the emergence of P.J. Hall in your defense? And he got, I think, 66% of the plays last week. Where he's doing, what he's doing to impress you, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he plays. He plays with really good leverage. It's built-in leverage, right? He's a powerful, explosive guy, you know, relative to the position that he plays. And he's been playing hard. He's getting in better shape. He did disrupt last week and had a good game. And just consistency is the key, just like with anybody else. But hopefully he can keep getting better and get more comfortable in our system.
Good morning, Bill. The NFL has fined a number of head coaches for failing to wear their masks. Was there much said within your building about that? And has it been difficult for you to keep your mask on during these games?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. Obviously, that was big news, and everybody heard about it. So, yeah, I mean, we're doing our best to keep our masks on. I mean, you know, I think that's the key. I mean, nobody wants to get fined. I mean, we're all doing our best. That's what the NFL decided. I'll probably just reserve comment on that. But, you know, relative to the mask and the communication, you know, into the headset and things like that, sometimes your voice is muffled. So, you know, we're just all trying to do our best. And, you know, that's just all I can say to that.
Good morning, Coach.
Hey, Cody.
When you take a look at this offensive line, what stands out to you in terms of what they can improve on moving forward?
You know, look, I think we've done some decent things. I mean, you know, again, people look at, you know, quarterback pressures and things like that, quarterback hits. But, you know, a lot of that is, it's not just the line, you know, everybody's involved in it. So I think that the line will always work hard to improve. You know, I think that they'll get better and better each week, and they need to, you know, everybody needs to, everybody's got to improve. But, you know, I think our line will continue to work hard and will continue to get better.
Coach, what would it mean? How important, excuse me, is the short passing game this week, especially going up against a team that blitzes over 61% of the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do a great job in all phases of their defense, all levels of their defense. So, you know, I think that, you know, if you think you're going to sit back there and hold the ball, I mean, like you said, that's going to be difficult to do. So, you know, quick passes, intermediate pass, whatever it is, you know, we've got to do a good job with the different types of protections that we have, and, you know, make sure that we are giving some time. But, you know, I don't think this is a team, just like most teams. I mean, you really can't sit back in this league and hold the ball unless it's a three-man rush. And even then, some of these teams with the three-man rush can still get home so quickly. So, you know, I think it's trying to keep everybody off balance and do as good a job as we can of protecting and making sure we run great routes and read it right and get the ball out.
When you look at the Steelers and the way they create pressure beyond just T.J. Watt and the guys that are, you know, rushing almost all the time, what do you see from how they create pressure and kind of their style of defense?
Very, very consistent defense. You know, they do what they do. I mean, they're very good at it, whether it's base defense or nickel defense. They have guys that can rush, you know, obviously TJ and Bud Dupree, but, you know, the inside guys can rush. The DBs can rush. I mean, the linebackers can blitz. I mean, they all have an ability to get to the quarterback. So it's a very difficult defense to go against. It's a defense that prides itself on toughness and physicality. And, you know, it's going to be a, you know, very physical game, but they do a good job. They're very consistent in what they do.
Bill, since so many players today were here in 2018, is that an advantage trying to bounce back from a slow start again?
I don't know. I mean, nobody wants to be in this position, John. You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think every year is different. You know, we just have to keep improving and try to, you know, basically, you know, let's just everybody, coaches, players alike, just try to do the next right thing, you know, get the call, execute the call, make sure we're on top of everything, substitutions, all that, and eliminate turnovers and you know, line of scrimmage penalties, stop the run better. I thought we stopped the run for three quarters, but you got to play four quarters, you know, and same thing offensively. We got to be more consistent. We got to stay on the field and, you know, we have to work hard to get better.
Just do the next right thing.
I'm telling you, man, B.O.B. sounds defeated. I'm hoping it's determination, but he sounds very, very defeated. And as far as the run defense goes, you can't put this defense in position to where you have to rely on this defense that you basically ignored last offseason, with the exception of bringing in Eric Murray. You can't rely on this defense to have to make stops to keep you in games. But that guy right there, who we've been listening to for 6+ years now, he sounds a little bit broken, a little bit humbled, and a little bit defeated, J-Lo.
That's not the Bill O'Brien we know. And I have a couple of thoughts on it. We'll see what you and the Loopholes think on it. I think it's one of two possibilities here. And you had to listen to the very end of that press availability to kind of understand what I'm talking about. I think either he's been told by someone, maybe someone who he actually quoted in a sense at the very end there by saying do the next right thing, that he needs to just swallow hard, bite your tongue, and don't do the first thing you want to do when you hear a question or a point that irritates you. I think maybe Jack Easterby or Cal McNair or some combination of Jack Easterby and Cal McNair have flat out told Bill O'Brien, you know, earlier this year, maybe before training camp even, hey, people don't like you. That's not breaking news. Don't give them more to dislike. Just put up with it. Just bite your tongue and move on. Either that, or, and this might even be, you know, tying into what you're talking, that he actually is defeated. He actually is. He's feeling it. Anybody in this city, especially Bill O'Brien, knows that he is not well liked in this city. He's just not. All right. And he's maybe finally, he's always been able to talk about the noise and focus on the next right thing, even though he didn't quite put it in Jack Easterby terms like that. He's always been able to kind of pop off, vent, and then just move on to the game plan for that week's games. He might be feeling it. He might be sort of, as you put it, getting defeated.
I don't know if he's as bought in to what he was selling as recent as 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you make decisions and you might feel like they're in the best interest of the capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M.
Yeah.
But once you see them play out and you see what things look like after you make those decisions, a lot of times it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
What in the hell was I thinking? What in the hell was I thinking? And I think that's the situation that he finds himself in right now. And Deshaun has rescued a lot of people from situations like this. He's done it before, but he's got to be thinking, man, what was I thinking making the choices that I made? I don't think he's as confident in the decisions that he made as maybe he was a few weeks ago.
Well, to your point, I don't know if he's as confident simply because we see it on the field. I mean, he always has defended his offense. He's always, you know, said, yeah, John, but I think we did a few good things out there. Even this year, even the Chiefs game, you know, we did move the ball late. And, of course, we all pointed out accurately that it was after the Chiefs had put their foot off the pedal. But even last year and the year before that and the year before that, you know, even in the losses, he said, yeah, but we did this. We're in a good spot. I like this team. I like this guy. I like this quarterback, whatever. Today, he just said, we got a long way to go. I've never really heard him say that, you know, about the offense. I've heard him say it about other things, and we got to coach better, which is just really a verbal crutch. But he flat out said, we've got a long way to go on offense.
I know that this is going to be coming if they do lose on Sunday, and I think they got a good, I think they got a chance to win on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the comparison between this Texans team in 2018, the team that started out 0-3 and finished 11-5, first of all, that was part of that team was part of the representation of taking the next step. That team got eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. So we're moving the goalposts where we're talking about a few weeks ago trying to take the next step. And now we're saying, well, maybe we can get back to what we were in 2018. That sticks out to me. And the other thing, and I can promise you John McClain's going to write this. He's already starting it. I mean, John McClain, by the time we talk to John McClain on Tuesday, if the Texans lose on Sunday in Pittsburgh, he's going to be talking about 2018. And the Texans starting out 0-3. And finishing 11-5 in blah, 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 blah. Look, I hate to tell you this, because I would love for this team to rally from an 0-3 start. This is not the 2018 team. The 2018 team was pre-King Bill. It was pre-Bill O'Brien making all these changes to the roster. 2018, you had J.J. Watt on the field for the entire season. You had Jadeveon Clowney on the opposite end of J.J. Watt's. You had Tyrann Mathieu, who's now with the Chiefs. You had Kareem Jackson. Yeah. And you had DeAndre Hopkins with Deshaun Watson.
That's a big difference in the roster.
It's a massive difference. So all this talk. And, oh, by the way, you had an easier schedule.
Yeah.
So I know that that's going to be the comparison, but that is not a valid, fair comparison to me when it comes to the talent on the roster as well as the teams and the talent ahead of them moving forward.
And I also feel there was another tell in that audio in his press availability. You know, he quoted basically Jack Easterby. There was another moment that kind of told me they've told him to work on his public persona. See if you pick up anything on this.
Relative to the game last week, you know, every game's a little bit different, John, you know, relative to the rotation that we use on the defensive line. You know, obviously JJ had a very productive game, so whatever the percentage of time he was in there, he made a lot of plays. In talking about your second question.
He's conscious all of a sudden. He didn't used to give two bleeps about what you or me or anyone in this city said. He didn't care. I mean, he felt the noise. He heard the noise. It's impossible not to. But he just went on his own merry way, doing it his way, and bleep y'all, you know, et cetera. The combination of how his demeanor is, the fact that he's quoting Jack Easterby there, the whole approach, and then the fact that he's catching himself now.
I
think he's been either told, hey, man, work on this, or a combination maybe of he actually is feeling the heat.
Defeated B.O.B., 713-572-4610. Deshaun Watson, though, he can save the day. That's the good news. Bad news, Deshaun Watson's not getting invited to the party that's going on around the country. We'll discuss next.
My boy B. White in the Bentley truck. Oh, yeah. I see your boy. Hey, represent, baby. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.